This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Tupac Shakur died in 1996. I remember it vividly. I was a teenager. I remember hearing the news come through the FM radio that I was listening to while I was playing on my computer. I had just recently purchased the All Eyes on Me cassette tape because I didn't have a CD player that time. And it was huge news. This was a massive event in music history if you were around for it and the transformation that was going on with hip-hop music at the time. This is a case we're talking almost 30 years later that still has not officially been solved, despite there being rumors and such. Siobhan Scott is joining us. She's a psychotherapist and author. There's a lot to unpack here. One of the big things with the Tupac case seems to be the fact that a lot of people have said they have knowledge of who shot Tupac. There's a lot of people who have said they were in the vehicle when it took place. And when asked, would you ever tell who that person is? The answer is always no. Even from Suge Knight, who was in the vehicle, who even got hit by a stray bullet. It's the culture of no snitching. Right. Let's talk about that a little bit. Where does that culture begin? How did it systematically become what it is today and what it was even back then? Because it doesn't seem like a whole lot has changed in 30 years or the nearly 30 years since his death.
Yeah, you know what I think we're describing is the tendency that all humans have to form groups, right? We've mm-hmm. all got our in-group, people that we see like us, and we've got an out-group, people that we see as different. And, you know, you can track this wherever there are humans, you've got in-groups and out-groups. We care for those that are like us, and we don't care for those, or we don't even cooperate with those that are different, particularly if we see them as a hostile group. And I think racism has been a problem in many law enforcement cultures. I mean, we continue to see evidence of that, and it was really highlighted by many of the killings of, you know, Black people, many who were doing absolutely nothing wrong at the time that they were shot. So there's a very strong lack of trust in the justice system, and that includes all aspects of law enforcement and the courts. And there is some basis for that. So I can understand why there's an anti-snitch culture, because certainly the justice system is looked at as, you know, the people that are out to get us. And mm-hmm. so we stick up for our people. You know, you see this a lot in different criminal types of groups. You see it in the mafia, you know, you see it in the motorcycle gang culture, but it's really us against them. And so, you know, it makes sense.
It's a no snitch culture, and I can understand it from the many years of mistrust in law enforcement and the many years of bad law enforcement. Hopefully, we're getting in a better place there, although it doesn't really necessarily feel like it at this point in time. But I guess the question would be, is this more of a culture where one believes that we'll take care of it within our group? We don't need the ones who have been against us all this time interfering and trying to get justice on someone. We believe that within our own circle, we will find justice ourselves.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And often that does happen with retribution murders, you know. So yeah. I think that's definitely the norm.
Which in this case, that's exactly what would have happened, whether or not the individual who pretty much everybody believes was the shooter, Orlando Anderson, he did get shot. He died years ago.
Yep.
So they're really the individual who may have been the trigger man is no longer around. But what do you make of law enforcement now going into his name is Keith E.D. Into his home? He's claimed in the past that he was in the vehicle with Tupac or with the shooter, Orlando Anderson, rather, at the time of Tupac's shooting. Coming out and making that sort of an accusation, does that put him into any sort of legal peril just by being merely present, not being the trigger man? Or does it have any impact at all? Obviously, they raided his home the other week.
That is an interesting turn, and I really don't know enough about it. It may be that they're going to come up with something that would implicate him, mm-hmm. but at this point, we don't know.
Yeah, it's just interesting to see how. And let's talk about the culture, though, of if you have the information. What if you are more of an innocent bystander, not necessarily somebody wrapped up being in the vehicle of this case where they were. There and someone pulled the trigger on Tupac. People who have this sort of knowledge, does that create any sort of mental health effects for those who have direct knowledge of crimes but will not be able to talk about it, or very much don't believe in talking about it, or feel pressured not to?
I think if they're part of the anti-snitch culture, it probably doesn't impact them in any kind of a negative way to hold on to that information. Because, yeah, there's that philosophy that you just mentioned about we will take care of it. There will be justice, but we're not going to the law enforcement or the justice system for it. So it probably feels very normal to them and mm-hmm. maybe less stressful than thinking they're going to have to go through the process of interviewing, being interviewed by cops or being put on the witness stand. You know, that might actually be more psychologically distressing to them.
How do you think, if in fact they do get to an answer here of who they believe killed Tupac, whether they're alive or dead, will that affect the almost the mythic legend status that he's attained for years now, longer than he was alive since he's been dead? Going forward, does that do anything to the legend or the infamy, or is it just another chapter in it?
Yeah, I think it's just another chapter. He does remain very much a cultural icon in certain cultures, and you know, it's not diminishing. So it's interesting that this much, you know, time later, that it's still something that we're preoccupied with to some degree.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.